able to move on from that interruption into our peace. Y'all okay?
Yes.
I knew you would be. Yeah. Isn't that life, isn't it? Yeah. So if I haven't met you, I'm Patty Mercado. I'm grateful to be here with you today. We're continuing on our theme of freedom. There are many ideas of freedom. Let's consider today that freedom is an experience, and that it is our experience of freedom that can be limited or enhanced. And so we're exploring how that happens and how we actually do both. So today we consider the responsibility that comes with freedom. Oh, it's that big R. Get ready. Hold on to your seats. We're responsible. Ugh. And yay, all at the same time. So accepting the choices that we make, that's what I'm talking about. Accepting the choices we make, the paths we take, that our success and our failures are our own lessons learned, not meant to be a burden, but meant to be a freedom. So in this teaching, which is the science of mind and spirit, we recognize that as we realize our oneness with creative mind, as we realize that oneness with the creative mind, we are released from the bondage of our false thinking. So has anyone had a false thought yet today? Because I know we all had a great opportunity to. What do we mean by a false thought? Anything that inhibits our freedom. So if it occurred, then we can identify it. We can say, oh, there, yeah. Mm. That was my thought. I had it. I had a little judgment. It happens. What we want to be able to do is to identify it and recognize it so that then we can be released from the bondage of it. So we have heard before that the only time and way our thoughts are tied to failures, to successes, to memories, to judgments, is by our own attachment. And if we can attach, then we can also detach. Yeah? All right, so Ernest Holmes, he is the founder of this philosophy. He is the originator of the science of mind. And he wrote and said that every limit we have, every bondage we have, proclaims the freedom we would enjoy if we reversed the way we are thinking. All right, so he's giving us a roadmap to it. So I have a problem, I have a thought going on in my mind, and my option is to reverse my thinking. Well, I have one of my favorite stories that I actually keep very close and familiar to me. I know I've shared it before because it is a favorite. It's the story of two monks who are crossing a river. And as they're crossing the river, they come across a woman who also wants to cross, but she's afraid to. So one of the monks picks her up and carries her across, sets her down, and they continue on. Well, his friend that he's with, he is just bent out of shape. He's just so upset. He's just out of his mind with upset because the monk carried the woman across the river. And so they get to the monastery, and as they approach the monastery, he's just like, oh my God, I'm just so upset. I just can't stand this. I'm going to report you, you know. You broke the rules. This is so wrong. It's so bad. And the first monk, he just looks at him. He's like, what? 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 He says, we're not supposed to touch women. And not only that, you carried her. You put her on your shoulders. And the first monk, he looks over him and he says, well, it's true, but I set her down way back there on the other side of the river, and you are still carrying it. I like that example a lot, because how many times do we just carry it, long after it's done? Anybody still carrying it? I'm going to invite you to set it down. I'm going to invite you, lay it down. Our work is to become aware of any burden on our heart or on our mind that interferes with our personal experience of freedom. You might have heard of Coretta Scott King. She's not the only one who said this, but she has insisted, hate is too great a burden to bear. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated. when we're carrying a burden of judgment, when we're carrying a burden of criticism or complaint, or anything that is disrupting our freedom, it's ours. It's mine. I'm the one that's thinking it. So here's the thing that Ernest Holmes proposes in his teachings. Reverse your thought pattern. But that doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. I mean, we all want to reverse it, right? We all want to let go of that. So how do we do that? That's the really big question. And what we've learned is that awareness is curative. So first we become aware of it. Oh, I've got this burden on my mind. I've got this burden on my heart. I've got this weight that I'm carrying. How do I set it down? How do I do that? And so, well, we can look to other people who have done this and maybe learn a little bit from them. One of the great examples is Nelson Mandela. He spent 27 years in prison for opposing apartheid. And when he emerged, he called not for revenge, but for forgiveness and unity. How did he do that? How was he able to be in that environment amongst great oppression and come out of it and not carry it out with him? How did he do that? Well, I didn't talk to him personally. But many of us have studied that idea, and we've contemplated and we've queried it. And his legacy reminds us that forgiveness is not a weakness and compassion is not passivity. And so many times we look at it that way. We look at it like being accepting is this detriment. And yet really, maybe acceptance is one of the greatest ways that we can lay down our burden. He showed us great expressions of spiritual strength, and that to forgive offers after decades of injustice, to love after generations of hate, to lead with humility when power is finally within reach. That is a divine idea, and that is divinity in the form of humanity. So what did he do that allowed him to lay that burden down and walk out and be the leader of compassion and forgiveness and justice and kindness and nonviolence? He showed us that liberation begins not with anger, but with awareness and action and an open heart. So awareness. First, we become aware. We become aware that we have this choice, that we have this opportunity. Great reading, Marlene. We have this choice to think our thoughts, don't we? Don't we? Yes. Have you ever noticed your thoughts, and I said it last week, misleading you, taking you down the rabbit hole? Yeah. Have you ever tried to stop them in their tracks and just stop them? Say yes, because you have. How did that feel? All of that, right? Powerful, difficult, incomplete, freeing. It feels all of that. So again, to become comfortable with how it feels to stop our thinking in its tracks and say, wait, this and what else? What else could I be thinking in this moment that might set me free? It's a challenge, I know. It's sincere. I keep coming back to the idea that freedom is an experience. It's an experience of aligning our thoughts and our ideas with the principles of truth, of wholeness, that when we lay down our burdens, when we lift up our vision, when we see beyond the circumstances to the truth, that we are set free. It's an experience of freedom that I'm seeking. And so how we go about that, how we go about laying down the burden, becomes our experiment of stopping our thinking and changing our thinking and inviting a greater awareness of our thought ability. So there's this story of this woman named Lyra, and she carried a heavy burden with her everywhere she went. It was just this heavy burden, and the burden was the weight of her thoughts. They were just so heavy on her. I'm not good enough. I'm too old. I've missed my chance. I messed up. I made all these mistakes. There's just no future for me. The burden of her thinking was so heavy upon her. And she just didn't feel like she had any opportunity to change it. And she just told these old stories to herself over and over and over again until one day she heard something that changed it all for her. So I'm going to offer it to us. You don't have to let it go. You only have to stop drinking from it. Sometimes we just need a little reminder that the thought is still there. It's not gone away, but I don't have to keep picking it up and working on it, right? Maybe that's just the first step. What will we do instead if we're not going to keep picking it up and drinking from it, if we're not going to keep picking it up and working on it? Well, Ernest Holmes has more guidance for us. And he wrote in his book, this thing called life. We are to come to life not dragging our burdens and woes to hurl into the face of the infinite, but gently we are to lay them down at the altar of our faith as we turn from the valley of our previous despair. Did you get that? Did y'all get that? Okay, good. What I like about it is we're not to drag our burdens and our woes around, and we're not to hurl them into the face of the infinite. We just bring them to the altar of truth, and we lay them down. We don't need to create an issue. We lay them down, and then we turn to what? We turn to God. We turn to spirit. We turn within. We turn to the light of spirit within us that shines and reminds us of the truth of who we are. We turn to that inner presence so that we hear our own message. In that story, Lyra, she hears the message, you don't have to drink from it anymore. Oh, what are we hearing when we lay down our burden long enough to hear something else? What are we accessing when we stop being so devoted to our stinking thinking? I know, right? Acceptance and awareness become fundamental to being responsible for our lives and being responsible for our freedom and accepting the choices that we make and the paths that we take and the successes and the failures that become our own lessons that we have learned. And as I was working on this, I paused and I said, Patty, don't forget, it's both the failures and the successes. And it's really easy to get caught up in this conversation about the failures, about where I'm falling short of my own expectations, where my own desires to do better, to be better, to get better, you know, to change myself. And yet, part of our task in experiencing greater freedom is to actually acknowledge and notice our successes. It isn't just about, oh, we have these faults and we have these problems that are going on in our life. It's essential to recognize and know that we are doing good in the world. And I'm not talking about being braggalicious. I'm not talking about being overly invested in ourself and self-absorbed. I'm saying that the freedom that comes with being responsible for our lives includes owning and accepting and valuing our good and the ways that we're living our wholeness and the wisdom that's being revealed through us and in us and as us and the joy of owning our good. Do you have an experience of your good? I'm looking at you. Yeah. I'm making a list of everyone I need to come visit and reflect back to you, you're good. Do you have an experience of your good? And if not, it's okay. But I'm going to encourage you to start paying attention, to turn our attention more from the failures and the losses and the gripes and the complaints to where we are experiencing the goodness that we are in the world. Have you smiled at someone today? She said yes. We have a question in the house. She'd like to make a statement.
If we magnify our blessings as much as we magnify our disappointments, we would all be much happier.
Okay, there's some wisdom in the house. If you couldn't hear her, she said, if we magnified our blessings as much as we magnified our disappointments, we would all be much happier, much better off. Great wisdom. What is it? John, okay, well, there you go. When we're willing to pivot, when we're willing to change the way, the direction of our thoughts, when we're willing to recognize that there's more going on than the problem, the condition that we're trying to change, then we have an opportunity. And I want us to recognize the ways that we're knowing and experiencing our divinity. That's what I'm really looking at. That's the freedom that we're offered, is to experience our divinity in greater ways. And the way that we can do that is to pay attention to the goodness that's going on, not just around us, but within us. Not just to us, but through us, and by means of us, and as us. There's this good that's going on, and we are a part of it. We are not separate from it. We cannot be separate from it. No matter how hard we try, we cannot be separate from it, because there's one life, and it's God's life, and it's being lived by means of us. So why don't we just willingly and gladly pick up that mantle and carry it out into our world? And be the light, and be the love, and be the joy, and be the beauty, and the creativity, and the wisdom that is God within us. Doesn't that sound like a lot more fun?
Yes.
Krishnamurti reminds us to find out for ourselves what are the possessions and ideals we do not desire. So he's telling us that we are each responsible for knowing what is ours to release and what will unburden our mind. Yay, I think that's so important. But I want us to realize that we also need to find out for ourselves what our gifts and our truths are, and the ways that we are expressing it and sharing it in the world. That's our responsibility. It's no one else's. We get to do it. We get to find out what makes us tick, what makes us excited. We get to find out how love is revealing itself by means of us. We get to experience the joy of that. And I don't know why, and I don't know when it became something to be like not excited about. Like we have to be so humble and quiet about it. Well, let's get loud. Let's be proud. We are a teaching of love. Let it be known. We are a teaching of light and joy and creativity and acceptance. Oh, they shall know us by the way that we live. Are we revealing it? Yeah. The problem is not that we have desires, but that we desire so little. Why not desire it all? Why not complete fulfillment, joy, and freedom? Well, that was some 13th century monk that suggested that way back in the olden days when we trudged through snow uphill both ways. It hasn't changed. It's still our individual responsibility. It's still ours. It's still equally given to all. We are each entrusted with the gifts, the qualities, the activity of God. And accepting our deepest connection with Spirit, our deepest connection with joy, our deepest connection with love, then allows us to live that in our unique and individual ways. And who you are is the perfect person to reveal it. And as part of it, I was so tempted to remind us that, you know, that no one needs special permission and no one needs a secret password, but actually, here it comes. The permission that is needed is the one that we give ourselves. And if we're withholding permission to ourselves to be the love and the light and the joy and the goodness that is God within us, then who gets to give it? We do. If we're withholding it for ourselves, we get to give it for ourselves. Let me see if I can make this a little bit easier. There's no permission needed except in our own mind, in our own heart. It's really an acceptance. It's really a allowing. It's really the greatest freedom that we have is to stop burdening ourselves with resisting giving the gifts, sharing the gifts that we already have and we already are. My prayer is that we each know and claim our highest idea of life, that we continue to stick with it, we continue to align with it, we continue to find ways to recognize and know the glory of God within us and all around us and align with it. We continue to say yes to that freedom of knowing that there is nothing else going on but the revelation of divine love. It is my prayer that we continue to allow ourselves to be used for such a high and holy purpose that the world is transformed by the light that we are. It is my prayer that we continue to allow ourselves to witness the ever-increasing light and love in the world. It's God in action, and it is made known by means of us. We are that love, that light. I am grateful to know it. I'm grateful to witness it, and so it is. All right. Allendale and our band.